you broke. Somebody say yes. Give him glory. Come on and give him praise. Anybody in the house know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. I'm talking about Samson, jawbone of an ass. I'm talking about Moses, rod that opened the Red Sea. I'm talking about Aaron's beard, his rod that budded. I'm talking about, do I have anybody? My grandma's burden bearer. My grandpa's heavy load sharer. Do I have anybody? Come on and shout glory. Shout praise him. Come on, tell him praise him. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him. Shout yes. I'm about to go to my seat. I see y'all don't want no more of this. But let me ask you to do one thing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, consider the ant. Wake up from your sleeping and do God's will. Now tell your other neighbor, say, I was talking to the wrong neighbor, but I want to tell you what I know. I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Now say, yeah. Say, yeah. I know he's all right. Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Say, yeah, yeah. I know he's all right. Is he all right? I say, is he all right? Wave your hands and say, all right. He's all right. All right to live with. He's all right. All right to walk with. He's all right. All right to talk with. Say yeah, yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpey, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpey, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis. Chapter 8, verse 22. Just want to read several scriptures in your hearing before we begin ministering. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. I want us to look at verse 7. That's where we shall begin, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And it says, be not deceived.
Come on now. Come on now.
God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now don't leave verse 10 out, because verse 10 is shouting, say something about me. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And look at what this word says. Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Do you want to be blessed like this? You may be seated. Do you want to be blessed like this? I'm so tired of hearing the saints buying into the world's perspective of recession and lack and slack and all of those things that are defeatist in nature. I think the believer ought to speak and believe and speak what God has already said. God wrote this word before all of the things that we see and shall see were ever seen. He knew it from the beginning, and he knew the end from the beginning and everything in between. There is nothing that has happened, nothing that is happening, nothing that will happen that God has not allowed to happen. God, no matter how chaotic things may appear, is still in control. There is nothing that can happen, listen at this well, on this earth that can shock or surprise God. Because he's seen it all. Tell somebody God's seen it all. As a matter of fact, he's already recorded that there's no new thing under the sun. So whatever it is that we think is new and exciting and is revelatory is old news to God. And so people of God must take on the mentality of God if we expect God to bless us the way God desires to bless us. Now, you can talk the talk of faith, or you can talk the talk of those who are defeated. What you say is going to align your blessings to your life. If you talk faith because you believe faith, God will operate through that same medium of faith. Remember, faith is not based on what you can do, but it's based on what you believe God can do. So you don't really have to have anything but faith in God to get God to operate on your behalf, because when you believe him, you begin to operate in those things of faith. You begin to walk in those things of faith, but more especially, you begin to talk those things of faith. Now again, there are many of us who suffer lack, and we were suffering lack when we weren't in a recession.
And that's the truth. So obviously recession ain't really the major issue with your problems of not having enough. Some of us didn't have enough long before we came into the knowledge of what these rising prices are doing, et cetera, and all the rest of that kind of stuff. It was because we were probably either not aware of biblical principles or, two, not operating according to biblical principles. But listen at this. No matter how bad the things get in this world, God is still under obligation to back up his word. If you go back through the word and you read about Abraham and you read about Isaac and Jacob and all of these folk, you're going to find out they've gotten the blessings that they got when things were at their worst, when the lands were in famines. You're going to discover that that has little to do with the believer that God wants to bless. And everything around you can be crumbling and falling down, and God can still prosper you. Listen at me well. Because your situation can change when you change your thinking and your speaking and begin to operate in the things of God. I shared with the earlier service, and I won't go back through the introduction of all of these, but I want to tell you in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, there were three things that we're going to just list that we spoke about that had to do with what happened in Genesis 8 and 22. Let's go back there right quickly and let me show you what this word says. It says, while the earth remaineth. Now, again, all of us do know that this earth is going to pass away. It won't be by flood this time. This is after God had destroyed the world by flood, and he promises Noah and the impending generations that he'll never do this again. But when the world will be destroyed this time, it will be by fire. So know that this world is going to be destroyed. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But until he does that, as long as this one remains, the one that we're on right now or in right now, he says that will remain, according to this word, again, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The conjunction in the word and is a hinge that joins together what precedes whatever has followed. And so they're together, coupled together. So that means if one happens, the other is going to happen. Now, here is what you need to know. God put everything in its place. That's the first point you need to know about that. Everything in its place. You will never get the full productivity or manifestation of what God wants to pour into your life if you are not in your place. Everything has a place, and it needs to be in its place for God to operate in your life. Secondly, not only must it be in a place, because the place establishes the pattern. Notice again, God is saying as long as the earth remains, there is going to be this pattern. This pattern. If you do this, this is going to follow. And everything that's in its place has its responsible part, because God loves order and God loves structure. And when we recognize that, as our lives are then placed in an orderly structure, we have a certain right to expect certain things to do right. When we eat right, we have a right for our bodies to respond right. On and on and on and on. Everything has a place, and it develops a pattern. After the pattern, we must recognize that it is all for the ultimate purpose that God designed it for. And so you're going to see that until this earth is destroyed by fire next time, that there is a pattern, because God has put everything in its place according to his divine plan so that it operates the way that he intended it to operate. Do you not know when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he blessed them? That was paradise. That was paradise. That was excellence at its best on planet Earth. Man messed that up. Man messed it up. And God has given man the plan whereby he can enter back into a right relationship with him and then begin to restore the things that God originally wanted him to enjoy in this earth realm. So recognizing that and understanding that, we realize that there are just some things, if we do our part, God has got to do his part. Well, why whine and complain about, you know, us not having enough? Or much, or we can't do this, or we can't do that because we don't have this to do that. We work 2-3 jobs and yet still come up short. there are options to your situation. The option to where you are can change if you change how you operate in the Word of God. Now listen at this and listen at this well. Not only does the Word reveal how people's lives have changed because they've honored the Word of God as it relates to giving, but there are witnesses, I'm one myself, and there are others here who can tell you how their lives have changed because they began to operate according to God's Word as it relates to giving. Now, one of the things that bothers me about people hearing about money, the only people that have issues with hearing about money are the people who need to hear about it the most.
Yes, Lord.
Rich people don't have no problem listening to how to make sure they maintain and increase their riches. People who are not in that vein are the ones, they're always talking about money. They want my money, blah, blah, blah. Well, no. Here is the thing. God wants you to have more than what you have so you can do more than you do so that you can be a blessing to the kingdom and as a result of that being blessed more in this earth realm as a child of God Almighty who is blessed. And because God, our God, is blessed, he has every desire. It is his good pleasure, the word says, to bless us. His good pleasure. God is looking for opportunities to bless you. God's hoping you'll line up so he can open up the windows and pour you out blessings. God's looking for every option to increase you in every area of your life. Every area of your life. We're so hung up on money, it begins probably there for you, but how many other areas are cursed because you can't get first base straight? See, because listen at this, you've got greater needs, I want to throw that out parenthetically, than money. But money is where most of your issues begin. Money. Money. And we complain about the quality of life because we don't have enough money. We can't really do what we want to do. We can't really go where we want to go. We can't really live like we want to live. And on and on and on because of a lack of
money.
But money really isn't the problem. God has no shortage of money. Here's another point. You've got more unsaved folk controlling the money in this earth realm than the believers. You got more ungodly folk, unsaved folk controlling the airwaves. A lot of folk in power and positions. Again, the word is so clear about that. Ephesians 6 and beginning at verse 12 starts to break down how in the spiritual warfare, how the hierarchy of this world is set up. Now listen at this, because if we learn how to operate according to the principles of the world, then we will have what the world has. But when we learn how to operate according to the principles of the Word of God, we will have what the Word of God says we'll have. And greater is he that is in us, in you, than he that is in the world. And no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper, because God has promised that. But you've got to operate according to the Word. Now listen to this, because I want you to see again. If the first thing he says after he makes this promise is seed time. What is seed time? It is sowing, giving, releasing, planting. It is letting go. Tell your neighbor you got to let the money go. If that's what you want, you got to let the money go. Now listen to this. You don't have a problem letting it go where you want to let it go at. You see what you want and you go falling right there for it, man. You will beg, borrow, steal, do whatever you need to do to get what you want. But when it comes to the principles in the Word of God that helps to ensure that we will have an abundance. See, we ought to get sick and tired of just having enough. Well, I got enough. You don't need all of that. See, that's selfish thinking. Because when you say it doesn't take all that and you don't need all of that, what you're saying is, God, I want just enough of me and mine. I ain't worried about helping or being a blessing to nobody else. Because if I ain't got enough for nobody else, then ain't nobody else getting none of mine. Let me just take a little survey real quick. How much easier is it for you to give of your abundance than of and out of your necessity? How many of you would be honest and say it's easier to give when I got more than I need? Just about everybody. You're a lot freer, and you know, you're a lot more generous, and you're a lot more jovial concerning giving when you've got more than enough to spare. But just have enough. And man, you're gonna pray about that thing. You're gonna make sure God is in this, because you know, God know what I got. I ain't no fool. He give you five senses. I give you this, I ain't gonna have enough. But man, when you're blessed and you've got enough, you say, go on, you know, here, you can have this. Not when you're gonna pay me. Now, I'm gonna let you have this, but let me wait. You ain't gave me that last 20 you owed me. Man, you get the record keeping all the way down to. You know, blessed people, listen, I ain't saying they're fools and they just give away foolishly, but what they are is open to the leading of the Spirit of God. Because here's what they know. They know they've got to sow in good ground. And every ground isn't good. It isn't fertile. It isn't ready for the reception of the seed. And some things you do realize you just better give it away because it ain't coming back to you again. Hey, man, can I borrow? No, let me just bless you. Because see, if you tell me, let me borrow. No, because if you borrow it from me, my mind going to be looking for what you borrowed from me back. So when you really don't want, you know, if you really need a blessing, don't ask nobody to borrow something you know you're not going to pay. Say, could you bless me with $5? Can you be a blessing? I'm in need of such. Can you bless me? Won't you use the right terminology? Because you look, you ain't got it now. You're going to be under more strain to get what you don't got now to give back to them. Just be truthful. Look, I ain't got it. Could you be a blessing to me? I'm hungry. I'd like to have some lunch. Whatever. You know, no, just be real about some things. We don't know how to speak truth and blessings. One again, you've been a sower. Do you know you have a right to go to God and say, God, listen, I'm in need right now. You know what my need is, and I'm expecting. I gave to the poor, and you say that was lending to you. I gave it to them, but I loaned it to you according to your word, and you're going to pay back with great dividends. See, givers don't have no issues. If they had to go to God and remind God, God said, see, now that's somebody operating in faith. I just wanted to see if they remembered that they've got some blessings on reserve. Listen, now just some things you've got to call into effect. There are some blessings you've got to call out of reserve. How many of you have a checking and a savings account? And when the checking account gets too low, you got to go to the... See, the savings account is that you save for a day when you ain't got much in your checking account. But some of us, the checking is dry. And it done closed up the savings account. So you ain't even talking about no saving. You there trying to kite. And boy, I tell you, see, Lord don't like ugly, Brother Johnny. You know back in the day when you ain't had, you write a check and take them 2-3 days. Well, I'm getting paid Friday. I'm gonna write this check Wednesday. And I get my check in the bank before it get there Friday. Now the system is so smart. You write them a check, they'll give it right back to you. They say, the system say you ain't got nothing. Oh, that must be a mistake. Lord, I wish I had. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. See, that's what you call trying to fool the system. But here's what you need to realize. that when you learn how to operate according to the principles of God, you won't have need for those kind of practices. You won't have to keep playing catch up. You'll be playing stay ahead. You will be in a position in a place where you won't have to look for blessings. Blessings will be looking for you, running you down, overtaking you. You'll have folks saying, look, man, I've been trying to catch up with you. You know that money you loaned me 10 years ago? Y'all don't believe that happened. I am a witness. Matter of fact, I forgot somebody that I loaned. Didn't even know who are you? Back years ago, I'm telling you, God can do some wonderful and amazing things when you line up to principles. Now, look again. I was just showing you that because if seed time follows, the word says, and harvest. So if you sow, there is a harvest, a reaping coming. Now, it may not come tomorrow, but it can. It may not come next week, but it can. But here's what you do need to know if you've sown in good ground. And incidentally, I need to throw out, good ground is where something is already prospering. Something is already green and fruitful. In other words, when you sow where you want to go. You sow in that place where you see stuff already fruitful. You don't go to a barren land where stuff is dry and nothing is happening. Say, I think I'm going to dig me up a little piece of ground and plant my seed here. When there is a lush forest over there with greenery and things are growing. Look like you just drop it on the ground, stuff grow. You need to place it, listen again, where there is a record of good fruit. Why is that important? Because God is not going to bless mess. All ground is not good ground. There's stony ground. There's hard ground. Undeveloped, uncultured ground. All of that stuff. Listen, it's ground, but it doesn't mean it is right for sowing seed in. And God, listen at this, he may lead you to be a blessing to somebody in a place like that, but not to sow in a place like that. He's got to break up that fallow ground. He's got to do stuff to that, make that right before that could ever be a fertile ground. And you've got to know that because the devil will try and get you to sow where there will be no growth. And then you'll think something's wrong with the word of God. And there's nothing wrong with the word of God. It's you not following the principles properly. Nor practicing them the way that God says. So listen, when you realize that seed time is coming, then that means that's your time to do your part. But the word says, and harvest, so that means God's part is coming. But God's part doesn't come until your part comes. And so is the word of God. Sowing, giving, releasing, planting comes first. That's the first thing on the list. God said this. Not Pastor Montgomery. God said this. This is God's word to you. Now, let me show you again. Let's go to Galatians and see again how God's word is still structured in the New Testament. Back up what he says. Verse 7 of the 6th chapter of Galatians says, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. And don't let others fool you. God is not mocked. Listen at this. God is not going to be played a fool. He is not mocked. You can't turn your nose up at God and his word and his principles and think you're going to be blessed by him. You can talk them down, talk about them, talk about those who practice them, but you won't be blessed by them. And so that's why I'm trying to help our peoples to become havers and not haters. See, those who have don't hate. They can participate. They ain't got to hate. Because whatever they want, on whatever level that God has blessed them to be on, they can have it too. It's a whole nother level to have something you want because you want it and because God wants you to have it, or you're trying to get it to keep up with the Joneses and can't maintain it in a proper manner. Listen, when you got it, you don't necessarily want all the stuff everybody got. You get what you want then. And you praise God for whatever everybody else got. Because that's what they want and that's what they can afford.